not a way of life in terms of ideas, but it's rooted in history. It's rooted on earth. It's rooted in time. It's rooted in physicality. And so that's why we read things like what we read here, when we read that he was incarnate, he became flesh, right? Physicality. He was born of the Virgin Mary. There was a real person there. And we can place these people in time and in history. And so Christianity is very different from a lot of the fads and so-called religions that we have in the world today, which are simply ideas. Now, maybe some of those ideas are good. Maybe they're noteworthy. Maybe they are helpful for us. But Christianity is founded in what has happened on planet Earth. You see that Pontius Pilate is named, and you can look him up in the history books. We read that Jesus was crucified. We read that he died. We read that he was buried. We read about the third day. All of these are like bullet points that speak to the idea that our faith is not Gnostic. Gnostic simply means it's an idea. It's a philosophy. And so that's why we are over and over making sure we know the creed, because our faith is real. And you know what? When the time comes when there's a loved one and they die and they are being lowered into the ground and being buried, because our faith is real and it's not just an idea and we're not just imagining it and it's not just an illusion, we know that Jesus physically came out of the grave and that those who trust in him will also be raised from the dead bodily. That's a world of difference from what we may hear in other religions or faiths here in modern America, where every faith, it almost seems that there's all this pressure for us to make sure that they're all on equal terms. The Christian faith is a glorious faith. And St. Jude reminds us that we should be building ourselves up on our most holy faith. Holy means distinct, special. And it is. And that's what we celebrate. Believe it or not, I do have two other introductory notes before the sermon here. I wanted to do this first one for a while here. And Kristen, if you could put up that segment of scripture that we had talked about before. Over the time when we had begun this liturgy, I often wanted to stop in the middle of liturgy, and yet I didn't want to interrupt the flow of what we were doing, and explain a couple of things about what we're reading here when we read from Isaiah 2, 2 and 3. And we read about all these mountains. And I guess, first of all, I should say, it shall come to pass in the last days. Now, some of you may be thinking that, oh, we're living in the last days right now, or the last days are way, way, way out in our future. But this is an Old Testament lesson, and when Isaiah is speaking about the last days, he's speaking about the last days of Israel and Christ coming and inaugurating a new age. And so what we're reading about here has been going on for at least 2,000 years. Regardless of what happens in our future, what we read about here has been going on for 2,000 years. It has come to pass in the last days that the mountain, that's what I want to talk about is mountain. In the Bible, a mountain is a power base. And so many things that you see in the Bible happen on mountains, whether it's Moses on Mount Sinai. There are those who understand that even the Garden of Eden was an elevated place. Jesus gives us the Sermon on the Mount. Today, when we come to the Mount of Transfiguration, it takes place on a mountain. When Jesus is resurrected, he meets his disciples on a mountain. It's a power base. And so when we think mountain, we think of the glory and the power of God. And so there's this mountain here, and it's all over the Bible. In Psalm 48, we sing about, you know, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. And Mount Zion is all over the Bible. A glorious place of God's great power. And so what this verse is talking about, and so I want us to have some life as we're reading these things in our liturgy. It'll come to pass in the last days, and here we are, that's us, that the mountain of the Lord's house, that's us right here, the church, shall be established in the top of the mountains. The idea here is that
look, I'm just like you. I'm just a regular person. But I'm telling you, what we are doing right here and what other churches of Jesus Christ are doing right now as they are assembled are the most important, powerful assemblies of any other assemblage that is meeting today. I don't care if it's Congress meeting right now. I don't care if there's some international group that's trying to solve the problem, the poor problem that we pray that will be resolved in Ukraine, or any other assembly taking place. So what we're reading about here is that it'll come to pass, even in our days here now, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above all the hills. The hills are simply those other little places where there's power in the world. You don't even compare to what we're doing here. Now, I know we're few in number, okay? I can see. Right? And I'm just me, and you're just you, so there's nothing special about us. But God has promised to meet us here, where two or three are gathered together. There I am in the midst. So this is what we're doing here. Shall be established at the top of the mountains and exalted above the hills. Recognize who you are. And by the way, history is flowing in God's direction. And I know it doesn't feel like that here in modern America. But they only started out with 12. They started out with 12. And Christianity is on the ascendancy in the world. There may be ebbs and flows. And certainly there have been. And there have been countries that go up and down. But the Christian faith is advancing. I could give you those statistics, but that's for another time. All nations, all ethnic groups will flow into it. And then there's the response. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. No, we still wait for revival here in Troy. But it will come. The prophets of old said that glory of God would cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. This is our future. Many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. And what are we doing here? We're teaching and we're trying to learn his ways. We're trying to walk in his paths. For out of Zion, that's us, the spiritual community, shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Understand the meaning of that as we begin our liturgy. The second brief note, I don't have a slide for this, is about today. And today is the finale of Epiphany. Epiphany began with the wise men seeing the star in the east, right? Light shining. And the revelation that Jesus, the King, was born. Where is he that is born? King of the Jews. And wise men from the east came. And so Jesus is revealing himself to the world that he is the King. Not just of the Jews, not just of Israel. And they bow before him and they give him the gifts. You know the story, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so that's how Epiphany begins, with the star, the bright shining star. And Epiphany ends today. We've had 6 or 8 weeks of this. And Jesus has been revealing himself throughout the world. And today we come, as we read in our gospel lesson, to the Mount of Transfiguration, where it's not a star, but it's Jesus himself, who is this shining bright light for all the world to see, culminating the season of Epiphany. And Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. The season of Lent begins. The title of the sermon today is Down from the Mountain. I'm going to read from Luke 9 and just verse 37. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him.